Picture this. You're sitting across from your examiner on check ride day. Cross-country planning is on the table. You've done the math, drawn the course line, calculated your fuel. You tell the examiner you want to cruise at 6,000 feet. The examiner looks up. Why 6,000? And you say something? Maybe it sounds confident, maybe it doesn't. But in the back of your head, something is slightly off and you can't quite name it. I'm Pattern, and you're listening to Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're breaking down one of the regulations that every student memorizes for the knowledge test, and then slowly forgets the logic behind. FAR 9159, the VFR Cruising Altitude Rule. I want you to understand it deeply enough that you nail it on the check ride and use it correctly every single cross-country for the rest of your flying career. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the pilot journey, first solo, private pilot, instrument rating, commercial, real milestones deserve something tangible. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, back to that student who picked 6,000 feet westbound. Here's what is going on. 6,000 feet westbound sounds perfectly reasonable. It is a clean, comfortable cruising altitude. Good visibility up there, usually above a lot of the haze and convective activity in the lower altitudes, and it has that satisfying roundness to it. 6,000. Easy to remember, easy to say. But FAR 9159 says that once you're cruising more than 3,000 feet above the surface, you do not get to pick any altitude you feel like. You pick from a list, and 6,000 feet westbound is not on that list. Let me walk through this regulation piece by piece, because it has three distinct parts, and each one trips students up in its own way. The first piece is the threshold. The rule only applies when you are flying more than 3,000 feet above the surface, not 3,000 feet MSL above the surface, above the ground directly below you. If you're flying over a mountain range where the terrain is sitting at 4,500 feet MSL, you need to be above 7,500 feet MSL before this rule applies to you. That is a meaningful distinction. If you're doing a local flight 2,000 feet above the foothills, doing maneuvers, sightseeing, staying low, this regulation is not in play. But once you are on a cross country, climbing up to a real unroute altitude, this rule owns you, and the terrain beneath you is part of the calculation, not just a number on the chart. Here is a quick scenario. You are flying from a field in Colorado out to the plains. Early in the flight, you are crossing terrain at 7,000 feet MSL, and you are cruising at 9,000. That puts you only 2,000 feet above the surface. The rule does not apply yet. You are just flying, avoiding terrain, doing your job. As the terrain drops away to the east, and you are now over high plains at 4,000 MSL, suddenly you are 5,000 feet above the surface. Now the regulation kicks in. Now you need to be at the right altitude for your course. Which brings us to the second piece. What determines which altitudes you can use? And this is the part that surprises a lot of students. It is not your heading. It is your magnetic course. Those are not the same thing. Your heading is where your nose is pointing. Your course is where you're actually going across the ground. In a crosswind, those diverge. If a strong wind is pushing you from the right, your nose is crabbed to the right of your intended track. Your heading might be 195 degrees while your course, your actual path over the surface, is 180 degrees. The regulation cares about the course. The actual route, the line you drew on the sectional. Why does the FAA care about course and not heading? Think it through. Two airplanes flying the same route to the same destination are both going to end up at the same airspace, over the same ground, at the same point. The wind might have them crabbing in different directions, but they are occupying the same corridor. If the altitude rule was based on heading, two aircraft flying the same corridor in different wind conditions could end up at the same altitude on different days. Course is what defines the traffic flow, where you're going, not how you're angled to get there. So, magnetic course of 0 degrees through 179 degrees, that is roughly eastbound, you use odd thousands plus 500 feet. 3,500, 5,500, 7,500, 9,500, 11,500, and that plus 500 is doing something specific. It is not a quirk. It is not some historical accident. Here is the thing. Most instructors skip IFR. Traffic Aircraft Flying Instrument, Flight Rules, uses the same east-west hemisphere system. Eastbound IFR goes at odd thousands, 3,000, 5,000, 7,000, 9,000. Westbound IFR goes at even thousands, 4,000, 6,000, 8,000, 10,000. VFR traffic is deliberately offset by 500 feet. You are always cruising between the IFR altitudes, not at them. 3,500 feet sits exactly between IFR at 3,000 and IFR at 4,000. 5,500 sits between 5,000 and 6,000. Every VFR cruising altitude is specifically designed to stay out of the IFR lanes. That built-in 500-foot buffer is the system that allows VFR and IFR traffic to share uncontrolled airspace without ground-based separation. You are not just picking a comfortable altitude, you are slotting yourself into a coordinated flow that the entire national airspace system is built on. When you pick 6,000 westbound, you have stepped into an IFR altitude. You have parked yourself in a lane that was not designed for you. Now, the westbound side. Magnetic course of 180 degrees through 359 degrees. Generally westbound, even thousands plus 500 feet. 4,500, 6,500, 8,500, 10,500. So our student needed 6,500, not 6,000, a 500-foot difference. Seems small, but that 500 feet is doing real work in the airspace. Here is something I wish someone had told me when I was in training. This is what allows VFR aircraft to fly the same altitudes day after day across the country, sharing the sky with IFR traffic that they may never see and that cannot always see them. The system assumes everyone knows their slot. When you do not know yours, you're not just breaking a regulation, you are creating an unannounced presence in airspace that was planned around your absence. Let me give you the three most common mistakes I see with this regulation because they all come up on check rides. Mistake number one. Applying the rule when you're below 3,000 feet above the surface. Students learn the east-west hemisphere table and start applying it everywhere, including low-altitude local flying. If you're flying at 2,500 feet MSL over flat terrain that is at 100 feet MSL, you are well below the 3,000-foot threshold, and this rule simply does not apply. You are free to pick whatever safe altitude makes sense. The regulation only lives above that threshold. Mistake number two, using heading instead of course. We already covered why this matters. When you're planning your cross-country legs, you're looking at the magnetic course of each leg, not the heading you will need to fly in that day's wind. Those can be close. They can also be meaningfully different, especially on long legs in strong crosswinds, and this one has a practical consequence. A cross-country route often has multiple legs pointing in different directions. One leg might be heading generally southeast, which puts you in the eastbound hemisphere. Your next waypoint turn might angle you more toward the southwest, which puts you in the westbound hemisphere. Each leg calls for a different check. You might need to step up or step down to a new altitude mid-flight, not because of weather or terrain, but because your course is crossed from one hemisphere to the other. This is not a huge workload, but it is something you have to actually do. Look at each leg, check the course, pick the appropriate altitude. Mistake number three. Forgetting that this rule is a traffic separation tool, not a terrain clearance tool. Students learn the altitude rule over flat states and then fly it everywhere as if the terrain is always flat. If you're crossing a mountain range with terrain at 8,000 feet and you're flying at 9,500, you're only 1,500 feet above the rocks. The regulation gives you an altitude bracket. It does not guarantee obstacle clearance, that is still your job. Look at the sectional, identify the highest obstacles and terrain along your route, add an appropriate buffer, and then check whether the resulting altitude is in the correct VFR bracket. Those are two separate responsibilities, and they both live with you. Now let me talk about what your examiner is looking for, because the Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilot make this explicit. In the cross-country planning portion of your oral, the examiner will very likely hand you a scenario or a plotted course and ask about your cruising altitude choice. They want to hear you work through the logic, not recite a table. Work through it. Something like this leg has a magnetic course of 220 degrees, so I'm in the westbound hemisphere. The terrain along this route tops out at about 3,500 feet, and my cruising altitude will put me about 4,000 feet above the surface. So, the rule applies. Westbound means even thousands plus 500. I'll plan on 6,500 for this leg. That puts me well clear of terrain and in the correct bracket. That is what preparation sounds like. You are showing the examiner that the regulation is not a memorized answer. It is part of how you think about the flight. There is one more nuance worth knowing because it occasionally confuses students. The rule applies to level cruising flight. It specifically does not apply when you are climbing, descending, turning, or in a holding pattern of 2 minutes or less. So, as you climb to your cruising altitude, you're not violating anything by passing through altitudes that would not normally be correct for your course. The regulation takes effect when you level off and establish cruise. That is the moment you need to be in the right slot. I've had students tie themselves in knots, worrying about whether they can climb through, say, 6,000 feet on a westbound course. because 6,000 is an IFR altitude. You can climb right through it. Level off at 6,500 and you're good. The system is designed for cruising, not for the climb and descent phase where you are changing altitude continuously. Also worth knowing, this rule applies below 18,000 feet MSL. Above 18,000, you're in Class Alpha airspace, which is all IFR all the time, and entirely different rules apply. For the private pilot certificate, everything you need to know about VFR cruising altitudes lives in that below 18,000 feet world. The good news is that the rule, once you understand the logic, is actually elegant. Odd plus 500 eastbound, even plus 500 westbound. Everything offset from IFR. Apply it when you're above 3,000 AGL in level cruise. Check the magnetic course, not the heading. If you want the exact language, pull up FAR 91